Now on Money News, Roger Montgomery, talking trade. Thanks to The Buzz Insurance. For quicker, easier car insurance quotes, thebuzzinsurance.com.au.
Roger Montgomery joins me here every Tuesday night talking the stock market. And Roger, how are you?
I'm very, very well. Very well.
Before we kick off on that, I want to also have a little conversation about a man who died today.
Right.
And that is one of the most respected columnists, one of the funniest columnists in this country, and that is a man called Peter Rule.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Now, that's right. Now, Peter died suddenly, age 64 today. He'd worked for the Daily Telegraph News Limited Papers, the Herald Sun as well, and also was the Financial Review.
Yeah.
And, of course, an American. His sister Mercedes.
Mercedes,
won,
that's right.
Best supporting actress for, I think, the Fisher King, it might have been a few years ago. So, very famous man.
And very also, funny columnist.
And funny, husband of Jennifer Hewitt, who's a very, very well respected, terrific journalist, one of the best in the country.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Anyway, so I just thought I'd give you a couple of little things. Peter Rule is one of the best, and he was just a brilliant writer. Spent a bit of time on the...
Not to read the back page of the Financial Review
right.
and laugh.
Okay, so here you go. A few little lines. The Financial Review should have probably put a few of his columns up for free, but anyway, I grabbed a few lines they put up. The Mardi Gras parade is on this Saturday night, but once again, I can't make it. Nothing to wear. A blue blazer and khaki trousers would make me stand out like Eddie Murphy trying to infiltrate a Ku Klux Klan rally. You've got to look hip, even if you're just an onlooker at the parade. And my wardrobe is about as hip as a hardware store.
Very nice.
Very nice. Peter Rule. I've got to say, this is another one. Great one. Seeing red over a dark shade of green. In case the coalition didn't notice, Lee Rhiannon is a gift. You don't frequently get somebody who's so enthusiastically nuts and proud of it. They're great lines. So there's a few bits and pieces here that I've just pulled out a few of them. Get another one that's there as well. The other day, I was watching a CNN reporter interviewing a Japanese official on the subject of what had gone wrong with and what was still going wrong with 4 nuclear reactors. It was like trying to grab air. See, Peter Rule. As I say, this is just a wonderful thing. And he actually had a little thing as bits and pieces that he used to just write about this. Here we go. Silvio Berlusconi. How can you, deep down, if you're a guy, not like somebody like Silvio Berlusconi? He's a total rogue, third-rate womanizer, filthy rich, and has been running an entire country as if it's a country club. For a day or so, you'd switch places with him before your wife found out and killed you.
Unless he lived in Italy or France.
Vale Peter Rule. I've got to say, look, you know, a terrific bloke.
Condolences.
And condolences, absolutely. Mm. But he certainly did live life to its fullest. There's no doubt about that as well. Roger, the stock market at the moment, it went, you don't care about it going down today terribly much. I want to talk about a couple of other bits and pieces that you are passionate about. I want to talk about the hard commodities, the currency-based commodities, which are gold and silver, precious metals.
Well,
now, you're a big fan of these.
Well, I have been for a little while, and let me say this. I'm not a gold bug. I'm not one of those people who think that it's always going up.
But I've met some of them. I've met silver bugs recently. They're weirder breed than the gold bugs in some ways.
They're richer too right
yes,
now.
Yes, they have.
The story behind precious metals at the moment, and despite the fact that silver is at record highs, on an inflation-adjusted basis, it's actually significantly below its all-time high. So some people say it's got significantly higher to go.
No. That's a bit like saying Jesse Owens on inflationary rated basis was running faster than the current 100 meters world record.
Not quite, because in reality we're buying things in present dollars, and so we have. We have arguably, after inflation, different purchasing power. And so it does actually matter when you look at it this way. Now, you can scoff and you can disagree with me, but that's life. Anyway,
it's at record levels. Let's put it that way.
All right. And on an unadjusted basis. So the story behind the rise in the commodities is essentially a debasement of one of the major things, a debasement of the US currency.
Correct.
So they're printing lots and lots of dollars. The result of printing lots of dollars is you devalue the dollar. The unfortunate thing is that the United States dollar has been regarded for a very long time as a reserve currency. It's the currency you flock to when the rest of the world is going to pot.
Which was a very, very clever thing that J. Pierpont Morgan actually did when he was helping the United States run the central banking system way back in the beginning of the 1900s.
Well, and we can talk about central banks and the Fed being broke twice before. And
yeah, we can do all that, but we won't do that now.
So what's actually happening now?
So hang on. So what are you buying then?
Well, I own gold.
Why
I've
do you
owned
do that?
Gold for a while. Well,
how much of a dividend do you get out of your gold bar?
I don't get any. But let me say this: I get.
Why is that a good investment?
Well, because if you let me speak, Ross.
Well, I am. I'm just asking questions. That's my job.
I just like to answer one of those questions. So what I do is I don't buy physical gold. I actually leverage my investment. I spend a small amount of money and get a large exposure to the commodity. I have the view that unlike some, on a commodity, if I've got a directional belief, I think gold's going up, I'd rather have exposure to the commodity directly than through a company such as a gold miner.
Is not a gold miner more exposed because
of the leverage?
Because they've got leverage, they've got operations that therefore mean that if the gold price goes up by, say, 20%, they will jump by 100% or 150%.
Well, let's explain how that works. The reason that works is because a company will have a fixed cost associated with extracting its gold. Mm-hmm. So it's a fixed cost. And as the gold price goes up, the revenue it receives for selling its gold continues to go up, but its costs remain fixed. And so a larger proportion of its revenue drops to the bottom line. It increases its profits.
So therefore,
its price could go up a lot.
So
that's
on
the
your
positive.
Basis of the way in which you do things on cash flow and growing cash flow, if you've got a model in your mind that says that the gold price is going to continue to rise, you should, on every one of those examples, be buying gold companies and gold.
I do own one in our fund. We do own one gold company
in our fund.
Which
one's
that one? Well, we're still building a position in it, but I can't tell you.
All right.
We're very happy with its performance thus far. Having said that, though, the downside is, and I'm sorry that I can't share that with you, but the downside is if you buy a company, you have execution risk. You have exploration risk, you have mining risk, you have what's called agency risk, the risk that the board or people in control of the money do the wrong thing with it.
Sure, but that's a risk of investing in any company. Surely you can assess all of those risks and then pick the ones that you believe are going to be well leveraged to the market and to the increase in the gold price.
Well, to a certain extent, that's true, and that's why I do own one gold company, but I also own the physical gold.
Gold. So what you're saying to me is that you do get your leverage anyway, because through those derivatives, in other words, futures or options, you put down a small amount of money. It's effectively borrowed against because it represents a much larger amount of money.
That's
right. And therefore, if there's a small movement in gold, you get a big jump in the price.
Do we have time to explain futures?
We will only do that when we come back, though.
Okay.
We can take a short break. Come back with Roger Montgomery.
You're listening to Money News with Ross Greenwood, thanks to Bankwest Business. Fix your rate with a Bankwest Business Loan at bankwest.com.au/radio.
Welcome back to Money News. Talking with Roger Montgomery from rogermontgomery.com. Talking gold, talking futures. Explain it to me, Roger.
Okay, very, very quickly. And most people, I should say at the outset, most people should not be trading futures.
I would
futures.
Actually doubly endorse that. Most people, in fact, all people, apart from very few, should not trade futures.
Okay, having said that, and all futures brokers in Australia would just love me for that.
You know,
to be fair, let's take oil. Oil trades at $100 a barrel. Every dollar it moves, every time the barrel moves $1, the barrel price, that's worth $1,000. So the worst way to trade it is to put the minimum amount of margin on, say $1,500, and then you can trade $100,000.
Hang on, you've just lost me completely.
Okay.
Oil price is $100.
Yep.
But what you do is effectively, rather than putting down $100...
You put down $1,500.
That righto.
And you buy $100,000 worth of oil. The problem is people don't put enough margin up and it falls a little bit and they lose a lot.
And that's the thing, because people get wiped out because of, you know, effectively the margin disappears and therefore their position also disappears and they can't fund it.
Correct.
That's why options sometimes become a more interesting thing. We're going to get short of time, so we're going to talk about options in the future and how a person can protect their portfolio next week using
next week.
Options market. Roger Montgomery joins me every Tuesday night.